Every spiritual-minded Christian is interested in revival, wouldn't you say so?
Yes, sir. That's right.
But it talks a lot about apostasy in the Bible. Now, if you want to read a little bit about, I believe there will be an outpouring. Most of that will come into tribulation by the 144,000. But you can read the book of Joel that talks about financial prosperity, the outpouring of the Spirit, and things along those lines, Joel chapter 2. But Brother Bob has been preaching on the book of Revelations on Wednesday night, and he had to hurry up because they were having a little get-together back there for someone who turned 73. And a question was asked about the 144,000. So hopefully today I will clear it up. And Bob, I want to tell you, is Bob here? You don't have to go fast. You don't have to say, I got so much here. Pastor Mounts, we were going to church there. They had Sunday school from 10 to 11. Then we had our regular service from 11 to 12. Any other people have churches like that? It's called the adult Sunday school. It stayed right in the sanctuary. One full year, and he didn't get it all the way completed. He took on the book of Revelations. And the main thing he did was every Sunday he reviewed from the past Sunday. How many know reviewing comes by hearing and hearing by the word? No, it actually says faith comes by hearing by the word. You can never review enough. So you don't have to worry about how long it takes. Just make sure what you're saying, it gets in there. Another thing, read your scriptures. You don't have to say, if you tell them, jot this scripture down, been in this business long enough to know, most likely they don't go home and read the scripture. And plus, you're taking more time that you don't have to come up with something else if you read the scripture. Is that right? But I really believe there's going to be a great apostasy. You see it all around now. And I like Isaiah 60, talks about arise, shine, the light will come. Then it talks about gross darkness coming upon the earth. I'll see those will both happen maybe simultaneously too. So, but right now we're concentrating on the apostasy because I don't want to see anybody miss it. How about it? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ and Lord, thou shalt be saved. Look to the book of Luke. See what the Bible says about when Jesus returns in verse 8. We do all right with that? Luke 18, I didn't say that. What did they tell you? Turn to the book of 8? That's as bad as telling you to turn to the book of Enoch. Turn to the book of 8. All right, slow down there, brother. Okay, verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really, New King James, find faith on the earth? That sounds like a big revival there, doesn't it? But he will find faith, I believe, don't you? There will be a great revival appearing right before the seal judgments, which you will not be here for. I pray you won't be. Yeah. All right. Now, I'm quoting from Dr. Harry A. Ironside, and I'm going to read it slowly because the print is so small. I should have brought a magnifying glass. But he goes on to say that few passages of Bible prophecy have to be so misunderstood and distorted as to their proper meaning, as in verse 4, that's Revelation 7, 4, Dr. Harry A. Ironside gives this explanation, and he goes on to say, I'm sure that many of my hearers have often been perplexed by conflicting theories regarding the 144,000. So there are some conflicting theories, so it's a legitimate question that was asked, but we just didn't have time to answer it. The way in which so many unscriptural and often positively heretical sects arrogate to themselves, this title would be amusing if it were not so sad. You are perhaps aware that the seven-day Adventists applied to the faithful of their communion, who will be found observing the Jewish Sabbath at the Lord's return. They suppose that there will be raptured when the Lord descends and the judgment poured out upon the rest of the church. Then we have the followers of the late Pastor Russell, or the Jehovah Witnesses, who teach that the 144,000 include only the overcomers of their persuasion who continue faithful to the end. Now, there's millions of Jehovah Witnesses, and if I knew there were only 144,000 going, I think I'd be depressed. Who's to pick the 144,000? How much worse do you have to do when we're under grace? So you throw that one out the window. Now, this next one, I ran some stuff off, and I was going to give it to you, but it is not worth it. Seriously. Well, let me read this again. The late Pastor Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses, who teach that the 144,000 include only the overcomers of their persuasion who continue faithful to the end, following the teaching of the system commonly called millennial Darwinism. That very absurd and weird cult known as the Flying Roll. It's mentioned in Zephaniah, but I'm not going into it. I didn't even bring the papers with me. I knew something. And I have a copy of those. You don't need to get confused. Yeah, the Flying Roll. The Flying Roll makes claim to the same thing. Only with them, the 144,000 are those who will have their blood so cleansed that they cannot die. Now, right there, Hebrews 9:27 said there's an appointed once for men to die. So you can detect this by knowing your scriptures, right? But we'll have immortal life on this earth. Besides these, there are many other sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, whose leaders consider their own peculiar followers will be the 144,000 sealed ones at the end time. All of these, however, overlook a very simple fact, which observe would save them from their folly. That is, the 144,000 are composed of 12,000 from each tribe of the children of Israel. There's not a Gentile among them. Not one. Dr. Ironside goes on to say, whenever I meet people who tell me they belong to the 144,000, I always ask them, which tribe, please? Yeah. Great question. And they're invariably put to confusion for want of answer. Yeah. Who are the 144,000? Well, I got a chance to say it. Wedge, I said, they're the Jewish evangelists. That may have thrown some people off. Jewish evangelists. Okay, there are 144,000 Jews that evangelize the world. Amen. If Jewish evangelists, and I know that probably threw some people off. Ooh, what's a Jewish evangelist? Well, he's the same as a Christian evangelist, only he's Jewish. Due to widespread confusion in regard to these 144,000, we must take time to examine the subject. If we let the plain sense of Scripture make common sense, it becomes clear that the 144,000 are Jews. For John specifically states, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel." Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4. 12,000 from each of the tribes. 12,000 from each of the 12,000. 12,000, see Bob? From each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000. There we go. They will be inspired by the fact that they will understand the book of Revelation, which is given of God. How many of you know that? And to show unto his servants, these 144,000, things which must shortly come to pass. Although they will go through a great time of persecution, and so will we, church, we'll read about that, they will have the comfort of knowing the duration of the tribulation. And by the way, in the Word of God, there are certain scriptures in the Gospels that are referring to the rapture and the second coming. And mostly the rapture is in other books like Corinthians, Titus. But know this, there's only 7 years difference between the rapture and the second coming. In the rapture, he comes for the church, does not touch the ground. We're caught in the air with him. 7 years later, we come back with him. I know some of you are working out for that, but you won't have to lift a finger. Jesus will take care of it. And most of it will take place in the Middle East. How many know that? Someone, was it, Bert, what was that question they asked you? Someone asked you about,
about Abraham and Sarah and Sarah's maid.
And who, what child they bear? Ishmael. Okay, that was disobedience. And the result of Ishmael is all those people we have over in the Middle East. There are some nice ones. There are some that are terrorists. But Isaac was the promised son. So the wars you see now, they started many thousands of years ago with Isaac and Ishmael. Let's see, what brought that about? Impatience? Did you ever make a mistake through impatience? God is going to send his wrath upon the earth and upon the ungodly. However, he's going to send his mercy upon his own people. He seals the 144,000 for the opening of the seventh seal. God's people are afforded protection in his time of judgment, just as Lot was protected from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look over to Luke 17, please. Well, you're there in Luke 17. Made it easy for you. Verses 28 and 29. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, let's go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. This is not too fast, is it? Revelation chapter 7. I switched all those, I had them down in King James, and I switched them to the New King James. I actually like the scriptures better in the King James. Now how that works, right? Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4. You there? After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. The church, what I'm ministering to you, these are not things that you could pray away or pray to come. These things will come to pass, just like other Old Testament prophecies that came to pass. Isn't that right? This is a jubilee year. 50 years ago, 1917, was the Balfour Declaration, which had a serious impact on prophecy. So you can expect some great things because of jubilee that happens every 50 years. Will you see another jubilee? Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Who's doing this? This is God. Okay, now, you got a little confused about the 144,000. Do you know that there's a mark of the beast? You don't want to take that one. But you know that God seals his own with a mark? How many knew that? Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And some of you are saying, what's he talking about? And I heard the number of those who were sealed. Here it is. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, that's verse 5, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. There's not one Gentile in these tribes. Not one. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zachar, 12,000. 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Okay? Now, I just thought you'd want to know this. Of the tribe of Judah, the meaning of Judah is what? Praise. Tribe of Judah. Reuben means behold a son. This is just so you can trick somebody on the street. Gad means troop. Asher means happy. Naphtali means wrestle. Manasseh, cause to forget. That's what you ought to pray. We be like Manasseh, Lord, and forget all those things that try to plague me now. Simeon means hearing. Levi, attachment. Issachar, reward. Zebulun, abode. Joseph, may he add. And Benjamin, son of the righteous hand. Before the great and terrible day begins, and the seventh seal is broken, and before the seven trumpet angels can sound their trumpets, another angel comes from the ceiling of the servants of God in their foreheads. God has a mark that will protect those who love him. Revelation 22:4 says, all of God's servants will have his name on their foreheads. Wouldn't you rather have his name? Of course, you're not going to be here. You're going in a rapture. However, there will be some people who missed the boat and have to get saved during the tribulation. They will not get saved if they take the mark of the beast. They won't even be allowed to buy or sell. You okay with this? We're going to end up a little better, I think. We're going to end up with comfort one another with these words. That's the 1 Thessalonians. It will be visible at the time of judgment to provide protection. It will be visible to the locust demons of chapter 9. Look over to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. Everybody there? Excuse me. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the sea or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. This is just like the sign of the blood on the lintels of the doors. Remember? For the Israelites back in Egypt, when they saw the blood, they would pass over. Okay. That was at the time of Passover. It kept the destroying angel from entering their house. The Antichrist will try to emulate God's mark with a mark of his own. Look to Revelation chapter 13. When I have an intensity in my voice, church, it's because it's time Bob, what did you say? Because I didn't, you said a minister said something about you better be seeing Jesus. I didn't catch that fully. Okay, now what did he mean by that?
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep focused on him, especially in these last days.
Okay.
And if you keep your eyes on him, then you will see him. Now, I realize that's a generality, but what he meant was keep your heart in Christ, and you will be gone in the rapture.
All right. So you don't miss the boat. All right, because some people, when you make a statement like that, some people could be condemned. I don't know who was you're quoting or who you saw that said that. But the Bible says to believe in your heart and confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and thou shalt be saved. But I understand that we better keep our eyes on him because there's so many distractions that can come in and separate us from looking unto Jesus, according to Hebrews 12, the author, the finisher, and developer of our faith. Looking unto him. That's something we should be doing. We should occupy until he comes. That means win souls, right? Okay. Revelation 13 and verse 16. You okay out there? Missing a page here. I got to get it. Okay, he causes all, both small, verse 16, great and rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy, this is not God here, this is the Antichrist, or sell, except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, verse 18. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You'll hear that number on different programs if you watch it. There are people out there who mock Christ, yet know this stuff is in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Of course, the mark of the beast will not bring safety. It will bring disaster to those who take it. Now, look over to Romans 14, verse 9 and 10. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Did you understand that, church? What we just taught so far? Get a CD if you haven't so you can go over, because, you know, I want you to look back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians. So all we made was a distinction between the 144,000, who they are, and that the mark of the beast, and then the mark that God had puts on your forehead. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Some had falsified a letter and sent it to the church. Paul's now going back to correct that. You follow that? Now look what it says here. Do not be soon shaken in mind. Your biggest battle, church, is not to go up. And they did this back in the 70s, late 60s, the 80s. They thought if they could get above the principalities and powers of the air, they'd go up there in airplanes, charter them, and speak to the demons. That went on. You talk about deception. The Bible already says that you've been, the enemy has been made under your foot. So why are you going up there to deal with him? He's under your feet. But the battleground, the real battleground, is right in between here. That's why it says right there, do not be soon shaken in mind. You got to take captive those thoughts. Sometimes they'll come at you with rapid fire. And beat them down with the word of God. Or next thing you'll know, you say, why? Why am I down like this? What were you thinking on? Do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes, which means apostasy first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, as the Antichrist, who opposes always pride. Lucifer did in Isaiah chapter 14, I will exalt the Most High God. See? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So Paul had to go back over. He planted these churches, then he had to go back and visit them. And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. He who is taken out of the way is not the Holy Spirit. First of all, he's sovereign. One scripture says he goes down to hell. How can he be taken out of the way? There's nobody getting saved if he's taken out of the way, because he is the convicting power. Then they go on to talk about the bride of Christ. How can it be he? No. See, we're talking about Jesus is the head, and his head is a he, and so is his body. He that is taken out of the way is the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. How many of you heard that taught before, that he was the Holy Spirit? Nobody? Oh, you've been saved from a lot of things. You were born at a great time. You didn't go through the 60s and 70s, huh?
I had the right teacher.
Thank you. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. How many daggers you got to throw? Spears? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now look over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant. People who are ignorant ignore truth. He doesn't want us to ignore the truth. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, if you buried a loved one and you knew they were with Jesus because they got born again, you have hope. You'll grieve for a while, but not forever, because you have hope that you'll make it and you'll see him again. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Cemeteries are resurrection ground. Amazing, huh? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's, we get the word rapture, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Look to verse 18. What comfort would it be if you're going to go through the tribulation period? Therefore, comfort one another with these words about the rapture of the church. Look to Luke 21. Can you handle a few more scriptures? Luke 21. Look to verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. You don't have to have your hearts fail you because of fear. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud and with power and great glory. Now look over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You think we're living in the last of the last days? Well, let's see what the scripture says about it, right? Verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They're here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. See, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It never says the money is. Money is amoral. Money takes on your personality. If you're a giver, you'll be a distributor. Amen. If you're selfish, you'll consume it on your own lusts. Me, my four, no more. But money's amoral, so they misquote that scripture and Timothy. That's 1 Timothy 6. Love of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, boy. Do you see that today? Here's what I really see. Unthankful. I think people get lockjaw when they go to say thank you. Thank you. Unholy. See the progression or digression? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That's so true today about people denying the power of the Holy Ghost. They duct tape him to the back room. Or we're just going to be seeker friendly, no offensive words, you know. I'll give you a scripture and I'll tell you a story. I want to know his story.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Look to verse 10. 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy 3, we're still there, down to verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. You there? See, Paul starts out, seems like it's harsh, but look how he ends up. But now he's talking about himself. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Now here's the key. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, you probably will have this whited out. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How many are suffering a little bit of persecution? Now, what's that mean? Now, if you're suffering no persecution at all, your life is not a godly one? That stretch of that, take that out of context. Is there anybody here that don't, you'll condemn yourself. Have you suffered persecution at the workplace, at your neighborhood, at the polls? Family. Oh,
yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Revelation chapter 2 does tell us to return back to our first love.